It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
It's time for us to ask a pastor, and we do have our pastor, Sakile Masilela, on the line to answer our question for today. And once again, good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for joining us. It's 25 and a half minutes before 1. Our question for today is, why do some believers experience doubts? Why? What's up with that? Why is it that some believers experience doubt? Mpunzi Masilela, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us and answer our question today. Pastor Masilela.
Good afternoon. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Are you well, Mfundis?
Flu is getting the better of me, but we're soldiering on.
Yes. Keep soldiering on, Mfundis. Keep soldiering on. Our question for today, why do some believers experience doubt?
I think it's not a one-size answer. However, we can surmise in this way and say some believers experience doubt because they've been disappointed quite a number of times in their personal lives, and they attribute that to God, or God answers them in a manner that they don't feel was necessary, was not how they wanted God to answer them at that particular time. And then that creates an understanding that God is not with them. That's the second part. The third part is that the quick response that they attributed to God, or that they believe God attributes to himself, makes them decide to say, no, I don't know if he's going to respond to me the way he did with the disciples in the sea, you know, during the storm. And so there's a number of reasons. Other theologians suggest that when believers keep particular sins within their hearts and they don't want to deal with those sins, they easily doubt the presence of God, because the majority of or the sins that they're keeping is causing them to doubt God. On the other hand, another theologian writes and says, when believers do not want to remove themselves from the knowledge of, or should I, or, no, no, let me just say that again. A person prays inside their corner, there's always a demon, or should I say the evil one, tries to inspire a person to doubt God, even when there is no need to doubt God, by bringing different heartfelt situations to speak against God, even when they are trying to believe in God.
Okay.
So which, there are multifacets towards this answer.
Which of all these multifacets you have presented, which one applies to Thomas? The Bible is giving us a story of a Thomas who has gone on to be called the doubting Thomas, who felt he just needs to confirm and just will not believe. Which of these reasons, why did Thomas disbelieve?
Well, maybe let's look at the story of Thomas clearly and be honest and admit one thing. Number one, finding a person that is alive after they have been dead was a misnomer, or should I say was a new phenomenon. Inasmuch as he had seen Lazarus before, it was not a common thing to actually recognize where a person rises up from the dead. Not only that, a person who was beaten up like that to rise from the dead. So there are, I guess, substantial arguments to say Thomas was not really doubting, but he was looking at the evidence in front of him and wondering to himself, could that even be? Not because there's anything wrong in Jesus rising again, but sometimes the circumstances pointing towards the rising again look very minimal, especially looking at the evil that has taken place on the person. So, for instance, after a person comes from a terrible accident. It's hard to see a person come out of the car alive. It is absolutely a miracle and a shock that makes people wonder, wow, how could that even be? So I think it is more amazement and it was more amazement to say, how could this be after such
a... Let's read the story, Mfundis, so that we know. It was not amazement at all. It was a deliberate decision not to believe. He says, I will not believe. So it was not amazement. He just wanted evidence. The story that I'm talking about, which I'm asking you to respond to, is out of the book of John, chapter 20. And I'm going to begin reading from verse 24 up until 29, just for you to get a gist of what's happening here. From 24, and I'm reading from the NIV, it reads, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, he's one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, listen to what he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Yes.
Verse 26 says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Miracle number one in the presence of Thomas. Jesus walks through a closed door, a locked door. Surely that should have been evidence enough to say, oh, yeah, that's him. That's him, I know. Performing miracles like this, that's him. But no. Jesus comes and says, peace be with you. And then verse 27 says, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Full stop. So that's my question. This man was not amazed. He just took a decision he's not going to believe. And I'd like to know why. Why does he, not only does he disbelieve by choice, he was with Jesus throughout all his miracles. He saw every one of his miraculous wonders. Before he even put his fingers there, Jesus walked through a closed and a locked door, which should have sufficed. But still, he did not a week down the line. Again, the question is, this particular believer who walked with Jesus, why did he doubt?
Well, let's be honest. We don't have... We will make speculations. Let's start there. So, speculation number one is there are people, generally as believers, who want evidence that cannot be shaken, evidence that cannot be misused by other people, all because they've been told. They want a personal, tangible, unshakable experience so that they don't tell a broken telephone sort of kind of a thing. And that's the first suggestion. The second suggestion is that other people have gone through too many fables for them to just take people's word for it.
But so this is not just people, Mfundis. These are his fellow disciples. These are his brothers. He's been in the ministry for 3 years together.
Yes.
So
with our brothers,
right?
Even with our brothers and sisters, not because we don't believe in them, but we want something more, far greater.
That's the question. Why would you want something far greater? I mean, all these years, when you hear the master says, come bring this coffee or this cup of tea, you do it. You don't say, give me evidence that he actually said that. Why would he disbelieve? And the reason why I'm insisting on this, Mfundis, is because there is a tendency amongst believers to castigate Christians who doubt. And Christians today in the year 2024 have never walked with Jesus. They never spent nights with Jesus, ate with Jesus, experienced Jesus' miracles, brushed their teeth in the morning with Jesus. No. We don't know all this. We were just told. And people castigate Christians who disbelieve or who lose their faith or who want evidence. And yet here's a man who wants evidence from Bible writers.
Yes. Honestly, we can say this one true fact, that many people want a personal, direct, unturnable experience with God.
Right.
They see the experiences of others. They recognize that what others are saying, that's fine. But they're definitely not going to believe until God touches their personal life immediately and directly. For the simple reason that people want a personal touch from God that will not be informed by other people's experiences.
Right, right. Here's my final question, Funes, and I'll let you go. And this final question is a question that bothers me particularly now. And it was triggered by this person who asked this question. When we are talking about the disciples of Jesus, we're not just talking about people, ordinary people. We're talking about people, some of which who wrote the New Testament. Yeah?
Yes.
And that's what bothers me. If we can find that there was Thomas who lived with Jesus and lived with these guys.
Yes.
But still, when these guys speak, as they do speak through their synoptic gospels, and here I'm referring to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
These guys are the ones we are expected to believe, and yet Thomas did not believe them.
Okay.
Thomas disregarded whatever they said.
Yeah.
Wanted evidence with and for and about Christ. Why is it wrong for Christians to disregard the scriptures, the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or anybody? Forget about, it's even worse about Paul, who was never even there, who has never even walked with Jesus. It's even worse about him. Why is it so blasphemous of Christians today to say, I want Christ to touch me? Enough about this Bible. I don't trust these Bible writers. After all, we have seen Thomas, the one who was called Didymus, not trusting these Bible writers. Why is it wrong? Yes. Why do you call us blasphemous when we say, I want a personal touch from Jesus?
a very interesting question, I must be honest with you. And quite a direct and an honest one, for that matter. I wish to say this one answer in this way. The reason why that can be a problem is because some people will never experience the touch of God directly, but they will experience it from fellow believers who then action out the presence of God. The best example is the Samaritan guy who helped a person who was left for dead. That guy actioned the presence of God onto another. So we experience the presence of God through other believers, and other people's experiences have a tendency and have a good ambience of being able to strengthen us in our walk with God, regardless of our circumstances. So it is not advisable to undermine the experiences of the Bible, because number one, we are not there. Number two, they are giving us an account of our Redeemer,
which Thomas disbelieved. He ignored. He rebutted. Quite frankly, he dismissed outright. Yes. He refused to believe these Bible writers in their testimony, in their own testimonies. And it's okay for people to castigate us for refusing to believe Bibles today.
Well, I don't think castigating is a very good thing to do by any Christian for that matter. However, I must also say rejecting the Bible in and of itself is also, because the funny thing is Thomas does not reject the Bible, but he rejects the people that he's with. Of course,
well, he rejected whatever they said. And when you're saying rejecting the Bible, you're speaking as though this is some holy, holy thing. We're talking about the writings of the very same people who are speaking to Thomas right now.
Yeah. Look, I'll be honest with you. You will not have, okay, if you want to say you want to have a personal experience with God.
Right. Like Thomas.
And then God says, I brought myself to you through the Samaritan guy or through a person that you personally
reject. That's well and good. Can we just agree, Mfundisi, that then we must be as patient with our present day Thomases as Jesus was patient with his Thomas? We should not call people blasphemous when they say, put this Bible of yours and your writings aside. I want Jesus personally. We must be able to accommodate those kind of Thomases today, right?
The answer that I was going to give you was this one. Because we all go through doubt from time to time as
right.
Christians, finding a person's speck on their eye when you've got a log
right.
is very problematic. So I agree with your suggestion to say we need to be very patient with each other as Christians, because
right.
doubt is a thing that will always be there for every different stage that we experience as Christians.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time and your patience. we'll talk tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Brother Mfundisi.
Thank you. I just want to know.
Yes, Mfundisi.
When I have questions, what do I do?
Who do you want to ask, Mfundisi? Do you want to ask me?
Just kidding.
No, if you have questions, you can share them, Mfundisi, and we can find you another pastor who's going to answer your questions.
All right, thanks a lot.
Go, Mfundisi.
All right, cheers.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.